Welcome to KUOW Speakers Forum. I'm your host, John O'Brien. In this extra episode, the March for Our Lives movement was instigated by students from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. 17 of their classmates, teachers, and staff members were killed in a mass shooting there on February 14th. Their mission statement begins as follows. Not one more. We cannot allow one more child to be shot at school. We cannot allow one more teacher to make a choice to jump in front of a firing assault rifle to save the lives of students. This past weekend, students in many hundreds of cities and towns around the country joined in sibling marches. Before the March for Our Lives Seattle event, students and supporters gathered to hear speeches.
It's not just gun violence in school, it's gun violence in neighborhoods, so we need to pump resources into these neighborhoods. South Seattle, Central District, South Park. There are so many areas in this state that need resources. So many kids in this state that need positive outlooks.
That's Rainier Beach High School student Gregory Pleasant. Items on the rally agenda included universal background checks on all gun sales, a ban on the sale of high-capacity magazines, raising the federal age of gun ownership and possession to the age of 21, closing the gun show loophole, and a restoration of the 1994 federal assault weapons ban. Speakers included the organizers, invited guests, Washington State Attorney General Bob Ferguson, and United States Senator Maria Cantwell. This event took place at Seattle's Cal Anderson Park on Saturday, March 24th.
Good morning, Seattle! Thank you to everyone for coming out today. This march is about so much more than you or me. This march is about us. This march is about getting real legislative change on both the national and statewide levels. This is about saving the lives of students. I am so proud today to introduce the co-founders of the Seattle March. Over the past month, they have become our fearless leaders, passionate spokeswomen, and my dear friends. Please help me in welcoming Amelia Allard and Rhiannon Rajaratnam.
Hello, everyone. My name is Amelia Allard, and I am the co-founder of the March for Our Lives Seattle event right now. Thank you so much for coming. I only expected 10 people to show up, so thank you. I guess I'll give the rundown of why I got involved. On the day of the Parkland shooting, I remember walking into one of my classrooms, and I glanced down at my phone, and I saw the little notification on Facebook that there had been another school shooting. And the only thought I had at that point was, how many people died this time? And then I just turned my phone off and put it back in my pocket and went to class as if nothing unusual had happened. And I think it's sad that in our country, this new normal is school shootings everywhere. And it didn't even seem different for me. But on the same day as the Parkland shooting, I went home and my mom and I were talking about the Parkland shooting, and then our conversation shifted towards, well, what would me or my other five school-age siblings do in the event of a school shooting? And while, of course, we can't plan what we would do, we have different measures we would take just because, at least for one of my younger sisters, Charlotte, she is autistic, and for her, that means that if there were to be a school shooting, she would not be able to stay silent and hide in a cubby or under a desk or in a corner. And for Charlotte, that means that she would be posing not only a risk to herself, but to those other 25 kids in that classroom. And for me, that was sort of the turning point where I knew that I had to, And so that was when I realized that I had to get involved not only for myself and for my family and for my peers, but for Charlotte and for kids like Charlotte that aren't as, you know, that won't have the same opportunities to hide and be at least somewhat safe in this sort of situation. And so for me, getting involved meant that I was just gonna start a march and do what I could do so that I could know at least for myself that if my sister or my family was on that list of the next casualties, that it wasn't my fault. And so I guess that's why I'm here.
Hello, my name is Rhiannon Rasaretnam. I'm a senior from Tahoma High School, and I think what Amelia, I think what Amelia just said is what a lot of us feel deep down inside. There's always, we all have people that we want to protect, and that's why we're all gathered here to fight for our futures and to fight for future generations of students so that they don't have to worry about their safety in a setting where they should only be worrying about their education. In the days after the shooting at Marjory Stoneman, I was sad but numb, angry yet apathetic. It wasn't until I saw the activism from the students of Parkland that I realized that it did not have to be this way. Being born post-Columbine, my generation has grown up accustomed to mass school shootings. We are tired of being desensitized to gun violence, and now we are taking action to ensure that the next generation of students don't have to grow up with active shooter drills and faced with the reality that they and their classmates could be shot and killed. Thanks. Right now, across the country, students are mobilizing to fight for their futures. It is important to recognize that although the mass shooting at Parkland was the tipping point for many of us here, there have been communities fighting for gun reform, specifically those of color, who have been past the tipping point for years. Their constant calls for change were not greeted with the support of the nation, rather we turned our backs on them. Today, we stand here in solidarity with the victims of MSD, but equally in support of the black and brown kids who face gun violence every single day, yet never receive national news coverage or have had... They never receive national news coverage or have had hundreds of thousands of people rallying behind them. Today, when we march for our lives, we are not going to leave anyone behind.
Hello again. Okay, our core team has put together a list of our calls to action in relation to the specific legislation action that we want and need for our long-term goals. This includes banning semi-automatic assault rifles, raising the age from 18 to 21 to buy a firearm, implementing universal background checks, and so much more. We have the full list of our calls to action on our website. It's just marchforourlifeseattle.com. And at this time, we would like to invite the other five members of our core organizing group to read our mission statement.
We, the youth of Washington State, are infuriated. Infuriated with the lack of action regarding gun violence in the by the U.S. Congress and by our own Washington State legislators.
We will no longer risk our lives waiting for adults to take action.
March for Our Lives is led by students across the country to address the epidemic of mass school shootings and forever end gun violence in America.
We recognize that although school shootings are what make the news, 46 youths in America are shot every day.
Of these, most are youth living in marginalized communities and never get national or international attention. We do not accept this.
Last year in King County, almost half of the 74 firearm homicide deaths were youth. We do not accept this.
It is long past time for change, but it is here.
We stand in solidarity with those in our local communities and across the United States who have been affected by gun violence.
We demand action now. Never again will the youth of Washington tolerate complicity.
Never again will we allow ourselves to be silenced.
Never again will schools or communities be places where we fear for our lives.
Enough is enough. Thank you. Again, I just want to thank the youth that you saw up here are part of the core organizing team. We've been working since late February to organize this march. I've seen them staying up till 3 to 4 a.m. just to put this together. So I just want to appreciate both the youth that have been working on this as well as the support of the adults behind us. And all of you, of course, thank you for showing up. Okay. Our next speaker has time and time again shown fierce determination, resilience in the face of adversity, and courage when looking at impossible challenges. Attorney General Bob Ferguson successfully blocked President Trump's first executive order barring travel from 7 Muslim-majority nations. He formed the Wing Luke Civil Rights Unit, which was the first office within the Attorney General's office dedicated to protecting the civil rights of every one of us in Washington State. And was recently the first to sue the FCC to protect our rights to maintain net neutrality. While some others in Washington are working to dismantle our democracy, Attorney General Ferguson is there each and every time to stand up for our great states and the value of our country. We are looking forward to working in partnership with Attorney General Ferguson to put the same resolve behind common sense gun legislation, because enough is enough. I am proud to introduce Washington State Attorney General Bob Ferguson.
Thank you, Rianne, and thank you so much. Good morning, everybody. Are you ready to march for our lives? Are you ready to march for our lives? I am fired up to be here with this inspiring group of young people. Give a huge round of applause to all the organizers and all of you. You know, what you all are doing is so inspiring to me, to the other elected officials you're going to hear from, and to our entire state and our entire country. I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, and on behalf of my wife and my 10-year-old twins, thank you so much for what you're doing. Now, I have a couple questions for you. In Washington State, and I was glad in the mission statement to hear that it wasn't just focused on Congress, of course. You guys are focused right here with our own Washington State legislature, our own leaders right here. Now, we think of ourselves as a very progressive state, right? Now, across our country, there are states have banned the sale of assault weapons. Washington State is not one of them. I have a question. Does that make any sense to you?
No.
Now, look, I propose banning the sale of assault weapons. Senator David Frocht, a strong advocate who you're going to hear from down at the Seattle Center, he's here today. He sponsored that legislation. It went nowhere. So we said, okay, they're not ready to ban the sale of assault weapons. We know other states ban the sale of high-capacity magazines. You know those 30-round clips you read about all the time in those tragic shootings? Why don't we propose what other states have done? No more high-capacity magazines. That seems pretty reasonable. State legislature did not adopt that. Does that make any sense to you?
No.
So David and I thought about some more. We said, well, hey, in Washington State, you've got to be 21 to buy a handgun.
and you cannot walk out of the store with that handgun. You've got a waiting period before you bring back that handgun. But in Washington State, you know how it is. How old do you have to be to buy an AR-15? 18. And you cannot, you don't have to have a waiting period. You walk into a Cabela's, you're 18 years old, you buy the AR-15, you walk out with it. Does that make any sense to you? The Florida state legislature adopted that change, signed by their Republican governor. Our legislature did nothing. Does that make any sense to you at all? So I want you to know, whether it is by initiative of the people or whether it's going back to the state legislature next year, will you be there? I know the answer to this question. Will you be there to support those efforts to make the changes to our laws right here in Washington State? It is outrageous. It is unacceptable that our elected officials right here in our state, in our home, will not listen. But I think they're going to start listening now. And you want to know why? Because of each and every one of you. Each and every one of you are making that change. So I'm here today to say thank you. I want to say thanks to our leaders in Washington State, like David Frocht. Thanks to our leaders back in Congress. I've seen folks like Susan Del Bene, who are here in Congress, Maria Cantwell. I want to say thanks to all of them and to all of you. It's an honor to be here, to be a small part of this huge, wonderful rally. Thank you for marching for all of our lives. Thank you very much.
Okay, let's hear it again for Attorney General Bob Ferguson. Again, this movement is youth-led, youth-organized, but we could not have done any of this without the support of adults like our elected officials. The next person I want to invite has been a role model for those of us who want to be trailblazers. She was the very first in her family to graduate from college, and she used that same determination to make her very successful in a high-tech industry despite the fact that leadership positions weren't often afforded to women. Now in her third term in Congress, Senator Maria Cantwell continues to use her fighting spirit to preserve and protect the rights of Washington residents. Senator Cantwell successfully led the fight to stop drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge and is leading efforts in the Senate to make America more energy independent. She has been a proud advocate for better educational opportunities for our children and less expensive, more accessible healthcare for our families. The March for Our Lives Seattle team is confident that Senator Cantwell is a true and trusted ally that will help us enact common sense gun reform. I'm proud to welcome to our march Senator Maria Cantwell.
Thank you, Rion. Thank you. We're here today to march for those who can't. We're here today to remember those at Tulalip Marysville, at Seattle Pacific University, here in the Central District, and around the state of Washington. We are here to march for them. I thank the youth because you are the movement. You are part of 800 marches across the United States that are going to say, we will not tolerate no action when action is desperately needed to protect the lives of our youth. When you think about it, here in Washington, we have taken matters into our own hand. By vote of the people, we have said we want universal background checks. We want to close the gun show loophole. We want to get the guns out of the hands of extreme individuals. We do want to take action, and we are going to say to those all across this nation, we are going to continue to lead. And if you don't change the laws, we are going to change the people that make the laws. We are not going to be silent anymore. And when we made change in the 90s and did do something about assault weapons, guess what? The violence went down. So today, let this be the start. Let this be the start. Not this moment of protest for those we've lost, but the start of an action that will end in November. If we don't see results, we are going to continue to change those who make the laws and ensure that our voice is heard across the United States of America, that we will have better gun safety laws for everyone in the United States. Thank you, Seattle. Thank you for marching.
Thank you, Senator Cantwell. We would now like to introduce Youth for Peace, which is a youth advocacy group that focuses on violence based in Washington and other states as well. So here is Naj, Gregory, Elijah, and others.
Hello, everybody. So today we are going to represent every single Seattle life and other people who have died in Seattle from gun violence this year and years before. So Rama Kirian, and I'm gonna mispronounce names, but you know, I'm just gonna let you know I'm gonna mispronounce names. But everything is respected and this is something for them. So Rama Kirian, Isaiah Kirian, Antoine Horton, Allen Joflin, Deshae Morrison, Perry Harrison, Dante Porter, Quincy Coleman, Dewan Jones, Sharza Bakut, Piri Lamport, Ajuan Brown, Tanya Gilbert, Desmond Jackson, Tiana Montgomery, Donald McCaney, Shalina Lyles, Kalani Shabazz, Shay Taylor, and my brother, My Chance. Okay, so my name is Elijah, and every single day, almost every single day, I'm looking on TV and I'm seeing another school shooting that has happened. There has been 18 shootings this year, and it's only been 3 months into this year. This is why I believe that we should have tighter regulations on guns. As a high schooler, it's already hard enough to live and just do our ordinary lives and just deal with the stuff that is going on. And now we constantly have to worry about our school being shot up. And as an 18-year-old should never be able to go to a different state and buy an AK-47 legally. In the same breath, I want everybody who's here to remember that this is 2018, that we live in a very hard time with a whole bunch of crazy people. So I do not believe that we should have 100% gun control. Now, that's something I do believe. Now, I do believe that we need to have tighter gun laws so that 18-year-olds should not be able to just buy guns and go and shoot a school up. And I do believe that when it is being brought up to attention of the government, the FBI, and everybody else, the police, that they should go back and they should take that person to jail. And so it should stop school shootings, because half of these people who shoot up schools have already been warned beforehand. The teachers of schools say something, because this is going on. It keeps on going on. It's starting to get something to routine. I ask the politicians, before you write any bills or make any actions on any bills or on guns, think about your children, think about your grandchildren, and think about their children. Whatever you write now will affect generations to come. I got a niece and nephew right now, and I have to think, if this is this crazy now, how crazy is it gonna be when they turn 18? They're 6 and 3 right now. So that's why I'm here today. I speak for all the 90s babies. As I was born in 1999, I am the last one. We are all 18 years old now, so we can legally vote. So just thank that. And I will say for all those politicians that now that we can vote, We will inflict change, and if you don't inflict change, we will get you out of office. And we are not afraid of change. As you see, I'm 18 years old, and I'm ready here to stand up and say something. I am not afraid. We are tired of seeing the multitude of people who are being killed, not just in schools, but I live in a place, South Seattle, where it happens all the time. And we are never put at this broad state where all these people are caring about our lives. Chance Gittens, 17 years old, killed by police officers, has nothing to do with anything that they, the reason why they killed him. They took his life, and many just like him are taken every single day. It's actually every 20 hours there's another person that have died. Until then, we and the people that I know will continue to stand. It's okay. We need to come up with better solutions. We need to inflict change on the security systems. We need to make sure that they have guns and they can protect us, okay? I do not believe that we should have teachers with guns because a student has already been shot by a teacher that had a gun. And just speaking for a child, I have been constantly said that I was a threat to a teacher every single time that I have spoken up. And I have constantly been said, when it comes down to me speaking up against a teacher, that I have been a threat as a black man, just speaking up about myself and being targeted. So I know that a teacher would have probably already shot me, just like all these police are shooting these black teens and other people who are constantly being killed. So I do not think teachers should have guns. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Naj Ali. I'm with Youth for Peace, Arena Beach Senior. I'd like to share a great speech by the great Charlie Chaplin. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate, has goose-stepped us into misery and bloodshed. We have developed speed, but we cannot shun ourselves in it. Machinery gives abundance, has left us in want. Our knowledge made us cynical, our cleverness hard and unkind. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness and gentleness. Without these qualities, life would be violent and all will be lost. The airplanes and the radios have brought us closer together. The very nature of these inventions cries out for brotherhood, cries out for the goodness in men, cries out for universal brotherhood and for the unity of us all. Even though my voice is reaching millions throughout the world, millions of despairing men, women, and little children, victims of the system that make men torture and imprison innocent people. A great quote by Nelson Mandela, he said, "Education is the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world. Let's move forward. Let's make a change." And just like many of us and many other people that have come before us, let's make a change and make the world a greater place. And with this generation, I promise you we can go far. Just keep on moving. Thank you.
Without a gun, it is not possible for a single gunman to injure 422 people. It's a simple fact. Without an assault rifle with a bump stock, it is not possible for one man to have that much of an impact on that many people's lives. Since gun control laws have been instituted and background checks have stopped over 3 million prohibited purchasers in this country. If we had 3 million gunmen right now, how many more of us would be dead? I'm here right now because this is an issue that affects all of us. This is an issue that personally affects all of us walking around in our neighborhoods every single day. We have to walk with the fear that maybe a car going by might possibly shoot us. We also live with that fear at school. There are no reason why in America, one of the greatest countries on this earth, that we have so many problems with people with guns. there have been 981 gun instances in Seattle since 2008, and that's just in the most in the areas with the highest amounts of people of color. Black people, Black Americans make up 14% of this country's population, yet as a Black man, you are 13 times more likely to be shot and killed by a gun. And this is not a localized issue in our country whatsoever. This is something that perpetuates in basically every city in America. No city in America is safe. How do we feel about that? We're all Americans. And we're not even talking about suicide, which is one of the highest rates of gun death for teens and young adults. How many people should have the power to take their lives as simple as a pull of a trigger? We have all the records, we have all the studies, we have all this knowledge. We need to do something with it. And it starts with the youth, because we are the future. We are the ones that can vote now. No longer can we say it's out of our control, because it's so much in our control. Honestly, this is human life. To all these politicians that are trying to block gun control, this is human life. What's your excuse? There should be no debates. It should not be possible for someone to walk into a gun store at age 18 and buy an assault rifle. You can't even buy a beer. Honestly, there's nothing more to say. We already know what we need to do. We need background checks. We need bans on assault rifles and other bump stocks. Mental disabilities. We need outreach for people with disabilities. We need people to stop being so alone. We need to start being humans. And it's not just gun violence in school, it's gun violence in neighborhoods, so we need to pump resources into these neighborhoods. South Seattle, Central District, South Park, all the way to White Center. There are so many areas in just this state that need resources. So many kids in this state that need positive outlooks and positive reinforcement. If we don't have a positive person in our life, why do we care about our life? If we don't have something to look forward to each day, why do we care about our life? I'm standing up here so emotional because this shouldn't be as much of an issue. This is America. We are Americans. We should be so proud of our country. And I am so proud of this country. But all this debate about legislation and installing on all these methods that just need to be passed is ridiculous. This isn't something that should be discussed. These are people's lives. That's what really comes down to it. Every single person that we just named, that there is a rose on the ground for, that is a human life. Those are dead bodies on the ground.
And we need justice.
And we need justice. It really comes down to motive and means. If you don't have the means to carry out this attack, then it's not possible. If we had a whole bunch of people walking around having fist fights, this would be not be as much of an issue. You gotta wrap it up. We know what we need to do. Now it's time to act.
When I turned 18, the first thing I did was register to vote. Elections are decided by single ballots. They're decided by hundreds of ballots. They're decided by very close margins. Every single vote counts. We have to make a commitment right here, right now, not just to pay attention to our national elections, which hold enormous amounts of power, but to pay attention to our state elections, our local elections. Our turnouts for those are so low, and we need to make sure that at every single level, we are engaged as citizens to vote for the people who will control things, who will decide things that will control our futures. There are 4 million young Americans who will turn 18 before the next election. This means we can have a tremendous impact on who represents us in the following years. This is an incredible opportunity we cannot afford to pass up. Apathy has plagued us for too long. The ways you can engage here today, you can scan the QR codes that are located on the back of the blue vested people. You can use the forms on their clipboards in order to sign up. You can go to the booths that we have scattered all around. To do this, you will need your driver's license or learner's permit and the number provided to register. We hope to get as many people as possible today. We are also inviting our youth organizers to register to vote themselves. They will sign the ballot on stage as a symbol of the fact that we will be heard. These ballots are symbols of youth power.
All of us right here just registered to vote, and we hope that you join us. Again, there's booths all around. There's people walking around that allow you to register to vote. If you are turning 18 before November, you are able to register to vote. So please do that. Again, the 18 to 21 turnout is historically low, and we want to flip that. You have the power to change things, and that starts by registering to vote and then showing up at the polls in November.
Thanks for streaming this extra episode of Speakers Forum from KUOW 94.9 Seattle. This March for Our Lives Seattle event took place at Cal Anderson Park on Saturday, March 24th. Tune in again soon.